At the end of book 13 of Purgatorio, Dante has been talking with a Sienese lady who is being purged of envy. And I'll talk about this lady a little later. As a parting shot, she ridicules her own city, and Dante never tires of making fun of Siena. After she asks Dante to restore her good name, if ever he walks on Tuscan ground again, that is, Tuscan, meaning referring to the land of what the ancients would have called Etruria, land of the Etruscans. This is significant because at the very end of book 13, at the very beginning of book 14, he encounters two blind spirits who probably overheard the allusion to Tuscany because they seem to be eavesdroppers anyway. Hovering about the traveling poet, sort of like strangers at a party who are hoping to come up and talk to you, they ask Dante where he comes from. Dante turns uncharacteristically shy and gives what appears to be a modest but certainly evasive answer. He says his name is not known far and wide, because he doesn't believe that for a moment, and he refers obliquely to the valley of the Arno River. Through the midst of Tuscany there wanders a streamlet that is born in Falterona and not 100 miles of course suffice it. What? You know, what is he talking about? The spirits are from the Romagna, a vaguely defined territory in central Italy that remained subject first to the East Roman Empire. So it was ruled out of Ravenna by the emperor's deputy, the exarch. And then when the empire pulled out of Italy finally, or at least out of everything but the far south, it fell under the control of the papacy. One of these spirits from the Romagna, who proves to be Guido del Duca, about whom we know very little, and he asks why Dante is so coy, hiding the name of the river as a man would do with orribili cose, with horrible, frightening things that make your hair stand on end. This Guido wryly comments that it's right that the name of this valley, the Val d'Arno, should perish, and he launches into a diatribe describing the various peoples that live beside this river in Tuscany, from its source in the Casentino down to where it flows into the sea. Virtù così per inimica si fuga, and virtue or itself flees as from an enemy. The people of the mountainous Casentino, where the river begins, and if you ever go up into the Casentino, you can see the early parts of the Arno. It's quite an unimpressive little river. These are swine living on acorns. Now, in fact, they did raise pigs in the Casentino, and one of the, and of course today, if you really want to buy the most expensive meat in the world, it's ham made in Spain from pigs that are fed on acorns. So it's not just that it's very cheap, but that this they had good meat. When the river comes down, we get to the Arezzo. The Aretines are curs. They're dogs. And as the Arno approaches Florence, the dogs turn into wolves. Florentines were proverbial for savage greed. And Guido wryly comments that his companion's grandson, Fulcheri da Calboli, will, as podestà of Florence, kill many Florentines. Dino Campagni describes the incident when the allied whites and Ghibellines failed to attack Fulcheri, who was supported by the black Guelphs. The whites retreated in panic, and many were slaughtered by peasants. This was a bitter defeat for Dante's party, and Dante blames the podestà, that is, his foreign governor. I see upon those wolves thy grandson fall, to hunt them down by the savage river, and drive along its banks and terrify them all. I see them sell their flesh, that is, they ransom themselves by paying the podestà while yet alive, but then kill them.